Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 29 of the Diz Unlimited podcast, coming to you live from the studio that Dreams built. I'm Rhino, and joining me today for our Disney discussion is Hannah Anderson.
Hey, friends.
And Craig Williams.
Oh, hoi, hoi.
They want to remind everybody before we get started that this and everything that we do here is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line vacation. When you book with them, it costs you nothing extra on your trip, and you help support the channel and all the content that we produce here. So head over to dreamsunlimitedtravel.com to get a free no obligation quote today. It's also brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you want to learn more about some exclusive perks that you can get from mostly Craig and myself that are sometimes ridiculous, you can head over to patreon.com/DizUnlimited. And over there, we do a post show that immediately follows this live broadcast. And I'm sorry, I said me and Craig, and I shouldn't say that. Jackie Gailey also has some content that pops up on there as well. So there's some fun stuff from different members of the Diz team out here. So that is, again, patreon.com/DizUnlimited. Hello to all of our live chatters on YouTube. And if you are joining us on YouTube live for the show, I'm going to ask you, take a quick second, hit that thumbs up button, make sure that you're subscribed to the channel. And if you are, make sure you've clicked that little bell and you'll get notified anytime we release a new video. So that is it for all of that. This week, gang, guess what? It's going to be a lot of Disneyland discussion because...
Well, it's not disappointing that we're talking about Disneyland, but
not
I
for
really,
me. But no. sometimes these people can get a little aggressive.
Yeah, well, you know, because it was the Walt Disney World edition show, and now a more general Disney. So you have that, but I'm just more bummed that we didn't. It's halfway to Halloween. I think today is technically considered it because obviously there is not 31 days in April, but we're at
I learned
6
that
months.
The hard way.
Yes, wasn't that just yesterday?
Yeah,
it was yesterday. And oh, there we go. That's starting again.
That's it. I'm not using it.
So. Yeah, it's like really wish that we could have started this off by talking about the Halloween party
spooky
dates.
Season.
How early is it finally starting? What else might be coming? But nah, right after we're finished, I'm sure. Sorry for interrupting you, Rhino.
Yeah, don't let it happen again. No, I'm just going to imagine.
I know, and I wrote the script, so I know. Now I know that I interrupted you even more.
I know. You basically skipped a paragraph on me here. So,
dang.
If I may.
Yes.
Quiet on the set.
Back to one, everyone. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Diz Unlimited podcast.
Don't you dare.
No, so anyway, this week is going to be a little Disneyland heavy, not to my dismay or anyone in this room, no. And hopefully not to anyone in the chat there. Open yourself up and just, you know, take in these Disneyland vibes because Craig has just returned from the Disneyland Resort, and Hannah and myself are going to be departing for Disneyland in just under a week's time. We're actually going out just next weekend as of the recording of this. But today we thought it'd be fun to let Craig talk more. And give his take on Pixar Fest and what Hannah and myself are looking forward to, because I know there's probably some stuff that he's going to rave about here, some stuff he might say skip, and then there may be some other stuff that we just were like, I can't believe you didn't see this, you fool.
Yeah, and let me just state right off, you know, the top here that technically I was there on behalf of Dreams Unlimited Travel, representing the company during this big event that combined media with sales, as well as content creators were all there mixed in. So I was not there on the media front. I was there with Dreams. So Disneyland did give me.
Don't we all go with Dreams?
What?
I'm just kidding. That
we
was
do.
A terrible,
oh,
terrible
I get comment. It. I get it. Yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. We all do go with Dreams. Every day I wake up and I go everywhere with Dreams.
Do we have the budget to add in the Cranberries Dreams song here?
No,
oh.
We do not.
That's a shame.
I definitely know we don't.
They're
have
definitely
that budget
revenue
for it.
Sharing. At least.
I mean, if we had the budget for it, we wouldn't be in a studio that looks so cluttered and all over the place. Am I right?
What? That's insulting.
And
I like
look
it
behind
here.
You.
Well, in fairness,
looks cozy.
I got microphones in the air.
Craig kind of puts everything together, and then I'll go back through and start organizing it.
Nah.
And so someday there's going to be tape all over all these, but I'm waiting till it's permanent and set in the ground, basically.
Oh, okay. Then we'll get the concrete out. But yes, I was there on behalf of Dreams Unlimited Travel. So Disneyland did give me two nights at the Disneyland Hotel, as well as park admission. And obviously, I was able to experience the Pixar Fest offerings a little bit early. Some were actually, you know, early previews for the park guests, and others were, you know, you had to have your badge to get in. So keep that in mind with everything that I say, because I did not stay long enough for the official kickoff that started on Friday. But at the same time, too, you know, it's Dreams paid for my flight and a lot of food and other stuff. So I feel like I can toe the line here a little bit and actually share when I didn't like something. I feel like everyone trusts us at this point to be honest about it.
Well, I told my friend Stephen and Agnes's kid, because when we were out in Disneyland in January and I hung out with them, he was saying something where they were like, no, we don't want to be rude about how we say it. And I say, Nolan, this is what I do. I put my hands up and I go, not for me. And I did it so much that they sent me a video like 2 days ago of him at dinner. And he went, they were like, Nolan, you have to finish all your chicken. And he went, not for me.
That's so funny.
So I have opened up. I think he's like three.
Well, yeah. So it's all not for
yeah, him. Yeah, it's pretty much. Yeah.
Says it a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I'm probably going to use that as we go along here. So let's talk about it again with the details on Pixar Fest. We've talked a little bit leading up to it. Pixar Fest is happening right now through August 4th at the Disneyland Resort. And you can see, of course, a lot of events in Disneyland Park, as well as Disney California Adventure. Then you have like this giant, massive decoration in the middle of the Esplanade. So for all those cheap people out there who want to sit in the middle of the Esplanade and watch fireworks, well, the best view is taken up right now by this thing. And I know I left the one person in on the side for people watching just to see the context. That's probably like a 5-foot adult that is walking around there. So this thing is large. It's like 25, 30 feet, and it is big.
Do you like it, though?
I do like it. And I know a lot of people are hating on it because like it's big, it's ugly. Yeah. It's, the ones in the parks are also big. Like, the one at Disneyland is right as you're looking down Main Street. Yeah. So I get it. That's kind of an eyesore. The same way, like, if you don't like the pumpkin during Halloween, which you're a monster.
Yeah.
If you don't like that.
Who will not like the pumpkin? I feel like who will not wear the ribbon?
Yeah. It's the same idea though. Like, if you don't like something blocking your perfect view of Main Street, then it's bad. With California Adventure, it's just, you know, it's right by the Walt statue, but it's kind of tucked back in. Mm. So it's much less offensive in that way. I feel like it's the best way to say it. But I like them. I love the animated drawings that they have done for all these decorations. They're very whimsical. I feel like too much, like with the shirt I'm wearing even. Sometimes I don't like the hand-drawn style of Pixar characters because we're so used to them as 3D that I don't think they translate well into drawn characters. But these ones are, because they're just like, they're so cute. There's enough whimsy in them that I think it's passable. So would I want this in my backyard? Absolutely not. But am I happy looking at it for a couple months? You bet I'm okay with it. But
I like that.
Wait, I'm sorry. Where did you say this is?
It's in the Esplanade.
Oh, in the Esplanade. Okay, because I was like, I can't see the area around it from the...
Because Disneyland is completely blocked behind there.
That's why I was like, where? Yeah.
This is the this is California Adventure side pointed at Disneyland.
Oh, sorry. I thought I misheard you, and I thought you said it was in DCA. That's why I was
you
like,
know what?
Okay.
Your apologies are...
Not welcome here.
They're welcome. They are welcome here. So
hit the bricks.
So the main thing that I really got to experience with Pixar Fest, because, you know, it was a couple of days before the event started, was the entertainment. So I'm going to break all that down. I wish I could talk about the food. I did get to have some food during our one nighttime party with Club Pixar. It was served buffet style, and it was like 55 degrees at night. Mm-hmm. So everything was freezing cold and disgusting. Like, there's nothing worse than eating a fried bologna sandwich that's under fried.
End of sentence.
And sitting out cold. or the same thing, we had the two special mac and cheeses that that are coming to, I believe, one of the pop-up festival booths that have like the spicy Cheetos on top.
One,
and like had those, but by the time I got them back to my table, which was maybe 30 feet away, they were just completely cold and disgusting.
55 so, degrees sounds nice, though.
Yeah, it's the temperature. To
go to I'm like, please hold on for us, please. No,
the temperature was perfect. I was worried it was going to be a little too warm, and it was everything I could have wanted it to be. But my experience with the food was very much tarnished because everything was freezing. So I'm going to skip that, but we'll talk about the entertainment you have. And I'm not going to go in any particular order, just the order that I saw it in. And so we'll start with Better Together, A Pixar Pals Celebration. Let that roll right off your tongue. This is the parade that is running through Disney California Adventure. Got hyped up a lot in the beginning because new floats, including the Turning Red float with the Red Panda May on there and Four Town. Then, of course, the Soul float, which I'm happy to report. If you already watched my vlog with this, I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat some stuff, but the vlog wasn't released for audio, so that's also why I'm going to repeat all this. The Soul float ended up being much better than I expected. We kind of made fun of it the week we saw the concept art for it, but I think it translated really well. And then the Luca float was also one of the new ones. So it's kind of, you know, a mix of old with the Pixar Play Parade, which Rhino absolutely hated, but mixed in with new, with these new floats. And, you know, I really dug this parade. Really liked the theme song for it. It's kind of a near one. Yeah, to get better, to get for I don't even know the words. Why am I trying to do it?
See, if it's
together, better together.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You and me, better together, better together.
Yeah, you'll have
okay, so you know. It's different music then.
It is. Yes. Yeah. It's not
okay.
The...
See, then that's fine. Then I'm going to be much more open minded.
That's it.
Yeah. You
Thank
will
you,
be
Hannah.
For there. Sure.
You and me, better together. Yeah, and then they were, the day. Performers were doing the sign
we got
language
the budget
for better
song,
together too
dreams.
With
oh,
it.
That's right. Yeah,
it was
that
so
was cool.
so cool and so cute. No, this parade I think works well. It's being shown like twice a day at least right now at Disney California Adventure, 4 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. If you haven't seen a parade there, it goes all the way back. Basically from Pixar Pier all the way through to Hollywood Land. So
awesome.
It's one of those things where as long as you're there 30 minutes ahead of time, you're going to find a spot somewhere on the parade route. It's a very long parade route. I would say, though, just like kind of think about ask cast members around which way the parade's actually going at that point in time. So, you know, because it'll go up. I believe it goes up one way and down the other way. I've seen how videos reverse. Like I watched it where it was coming from the Pixar Pier area and coming down towards Hollywood Land. So most of the parade route was looking directly into the sun for us. Kind of why I angled right in front of the LCAP so I could see them head on without burning my eyes. But then if it's coming back the other direction, then you have a little bit of a better
view. Quick question on that. When you saw it, did they do the two parades like they would normally do, the two times? Or they just do the one time that day?
We just had
it. And it started from Pixar?
Yes. Okay. That day, it started from Pixar area, went all the way down to Hollywood Land. We only had one because that was technically
special
preview that they didn't tell anyone, but everyone also at the same time knew and was all lining up. So, you have that. So highly, that one, I would say that one is for me. If we're going by Rhino's rules here.
Yeah, put up your hands.
Yeah, that one.
You put them up.
This one's
not for me.
This one, this one's for me.
It is for me.
No, this is saying no. No.
So that's a no.
You could do the Moore symbol like my toddler does. It's for me.
This is for me. This is for me. Also for me, but might not be for everyone, we have the fireworks show that happens at Disneyland Park on select nights, Together Forever, a Pixar nighttime spectacular. They're getting paid by the word, I swear, with these fireworks.
And for you.
This show is slightly updated from the version that was showing in 2018. The characters that you get to see flying in behind Sleeping Beauty Castle are the same. You have Buzz Lightyear fly out at the beginning of the show, and then the house from Up. Later on in the show. And it's, I really like it. They added in parts of like Inside Out and Elemental and
Turning Red.
Yeah. Thank you. Some of the newer Pixar movies that didn't make it in for the first round of the show. And I think it's still a solid show. If you watch it on Main Street, you get the projections all up and down. And you see when there are special effects, like during the Coco section, there's a bunch of sugar skeletons that kind of pop up on top of the buildings. And I think it's a nice little show. You can watch it back by It's a Small World, and you can have the projections right on there with the fireworks off to the side. If you're a Star Wars fan, you can watch it back in Galaxy's Edge, and you have the special music that goes along with the show to make it a different kind of entertainment option. And then Disneyland still promotes to watch it in front of Rivers of America, but right now, while Fantasmic isn't happening, there's no water screen projections happening for the show, so you're just kind of watching the fireworks. But when Fantasmic does return in a couple weeks, I'm assuming that then it'll go back to how they always show fireworks shows there. But I highly recommend get as close to the castle as possible. That's the best.
Yeah, that's my plan.
View. Like right where I was for the video I shot, I was about right at the right where they're right where you do the silhouettes, basically.
Okay.
On Main Street.
Yeah.
So like I was immersed still by everything on the sides that you couldn't really see in my video because it wasn't wide. I was still immersed in there, but it was far back enough that I lost out on a lot of the great castle details.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's nothing like watching a Disneyland fireworks show as close to the castle. The fireworks still frame that castle beautifully. It's not like Walt Disney World where you get close and then it's all blocked off. It's actually
that's a good point.
The best view is being right in front of the castle. So that's my recommendation on that. And that's for me.
That's for me. That's for me.
Okay. Now we're coming to my first. That's not for me. And that unfortunately is Club Pixar, I'm going to put a pin in this because I obviously didn't have a great experience with how ours was set up for this. Like we got the chance to meet characters that aren't actually meeting in Club Pixar area that are meeting in a different area we'll talk about. So it's not even really like my experience really wasn't fair in that way. But then we had tables set up because this was where our party and our dinner was and bars were set up. So
like
I just don't, I don't feel like I got the right experience of Club Pixar. But even with what I did experience, like I thought it was going to be like a wild party where they're like, you know, everyone's getting up and dancing, live performers, as in like musicians. There was this like awkward DJ that was kind of placed up high, out of the way, that was kind of like leading what would then happen on the stage. And basically you had these Club Pixar dance crew that would come out, and I think that's what they were called. It was always the, can we bring out the CPCD or CPDC?
Oh, they said that?
Yes.
CPDC.
Mm. And so they would bring them out, and then basically they would go through different Pixar movies. They would drop an emotion ball from Inside Out, and then it would kind of bring up an emotion from one of the movies. So like if you're watching the show right now, you're seeing the Pixar or the WALL-E dancers that were kind of reenacting WALL-E in a artistic way. And that's the DJ lady who is screaming at everyone down below to you know, get around so you could see everything that was about to happen, keep the party going. They also took us through an Inside Out interpretive dance. They took us through a Toy Story line dance where they just kept slowly adding different moves to it with lassoing and everything until you could do a full dance to You've Got a Friend in Me. And people loved it. It's
okay.
I mean, for me though, it's like, even if we had tables all in that area, even if they weren't there and it wasn't all cleared out, like it's still not my thing. I don't,
like maybe more for kids. Maybe?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, kids will like bouncing around, but in my opinion, it's still not great in that way. You know, there's a lot of food you can get back here. You have food and drinks in this area. They had the cute little like drive-in setup where you could watch
that.
The Pixar shorts. There was games. There's enough to keep you occupied in that area. Not for me. But with the next area, the Pixar Pals Playtime Party in Fantasyland Theater, this is perfect for kids. And to me, ended up walking away like, if Rory was outgoing and older, then I think this would be like that area that they just want to like soak up for as long as possible, because it's engaging everywhere around, having you know, character meet and greets there, characters from Onward, characters from Up, Elemental, having Wade and Ember. having Luca and Alberto from Luca, like it just all you had all these characters there, but then they kind of led everyone in a fun dance party that started off as just these four performers. Slowly kept adding more characters. You then had like the Incredibles characters show up, so you had Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, Frozone, Edna Mode, and then they add in Toy Story characters, and then they add in Inside Out characters, and then they all slowly made their way off the stage, like one group at a time, to start having the dance parties with everyone on the floor. So much fun. So incredibly cool. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have kids that are introverts, they're going to hate everything about this area. But if they want a place to run around, dance, have fun, see characters, it's absolutely, absolutely it. And I think they actually did a really good job with it, because I thought going into it, I thought this was going to be the one where I'm like, get me out of here.
Mister,
get me out of here. And I think it worked out. So that is happening. The Pixar Pals Playtime Party happens in Fantasyland Theater, 11:45 a.m. to 5:30 every day. Then the Club Pixar is 4:30 to 8:30 at night. And that's all the information. The only other thing entertainment-wise that I wish I would have had a chance to see in the park, but I was already gone, was the Talking Doug meeting over by Redwood.
Yeah, he is so cute.
I look forward to y'all getting to meet Doug and mm-hmm. letting me know how difficult he actually is to hear once you're out in the park.
Oh, well, tell me, said hey. Yeah, let's see what he has to say. We'll bring back the message.
What? What? I have just met you and I love you. Okay, that's all I got.
That was good.
Sounds like a full 2 days.
No kidding.
It took me so long to recover. Yeah. I fly pretty well and I deal with jet lag pretty well, but this one kicked my butt like up and down. It was so tough. I'm just like, I needed a full day to sleep.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, for sure.
But it's good.
I feel like Luca's kind of creepy. Does anybody else feel that way? I like that he's a character, but I feel like just stay on the flute.
Both of them, and then also Wade is like,
yeah, a little bit. His face is like
face paralysis.
I know.
No, I'm okay. That's definitely better. I love Elemental now. That movie has grown on me.
I kind of do too.
I loved having the chance to meet them.
My kid loves Elemental.
Craig and I saw it together.
It's bright and vibrant. I really like it. But the thing with the Luca characters is like, I want to know what size they were prior to the events in the movie, because their skin was flapping off their bodies. Like they used to be like 500 pounds and then they lost weight, which these kids are still young. The skin should be elastic and tight against their body. But it's like, it's that added on with the faces that they're constantly making. Yeah. It did get a little scary, but
that's also a little confusing because they're kids, but they're not because they're Pixar kids. You know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah.
But how old are they? Because they're from the ocean.
Because they're 6 feet tall.
Yeah. And I mean, it is.
Oh, maybe it's because it's the ocean thing.
It's nice in the parade that, they do have, you see their underwater versions of their downstairs.
Business.
Downstairs. Like they'll pop their legs out and you'll see kicking my table. You'll see the legs pop out. It's kind of, I actually like how they did it, but even though they are slightly creepy, I don't know. Every time I had the chance to meet them, I'm like, I've got to. Pixar.
I know you're a character person.
I'm slowly turning into a character person, but even more than that, I think I always forget how much I enjoy Pixar overall. Like, it's, you know, the studio was perfect up until a certain point. Cars 2. And
at that point,
it just all started bouncing up and down. We were watching Brave the other day, and I'm like, I don't even like this movie anymore. Yeah. They have made some not so great ones along the line, but for the most part, I can still walk into a Pixar movie and be like, I know I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah, have a good time.
It reflects in how I feel about them in the parks as well, too.
Toy Story is a big deal at our house, so I'm very excited for Owen to see Buzz Lightyear during the fireworks, and I think that the thing at Fantasyland Theater, where are they calling that?
Pixar Pals Playtime.
Looks awesome.
It's four. I keep telling myself every time.
Oh, four
it's
P's. Four P's. Yeah.
It's four P's, but I can't
not four
remember
P's of marketing,
it.
For, like, but,
I cannot remember it.
And there's food right there too at the Troubadour Tavern, so you can just make a whole afternoon of it.
Exactly.
Nice.
I am done now.
Oh, okay. That I'm excited. I'm in.
I don't know, Anna. What are you most excited about?
Girl, it's always going to be the food for me. No.
Well, what? Well, we'll talk about the food in a second.
No, I.
But beyond the food, like I, you did make me more excited for this parade after this conversation.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see Four Town in the parade. Like, you know, that's going to be a good time. I'm excited for the Fantasyland Theater show. I'm not excited for Club Pixar. That makes me feel awkward. I don't like that. Makes me feel weird.
I'm not line dancing, that's for sure.
No.
I'll save that for my mother.
But what if it was line dancing to Achy Breaky Heart?
Ooh.
I don't think you're making it better. Shania Twain or nothing?
Okay.
Yeah, don't kick down some doors.
What was I going to say to you?
What are you excited about?
The parade, though. Is that once a day? You said it already.
I said it. I think I actually said it twice.
Okay, could you say it a third time?
Twice a day. Right now, the times are listed for 4 o'clock and 6:30.
See, I'm excited for the 6:30, hoping it will be dark enough to see the illuminated parts of the parade. Because I saw the cast members preview was at night. And like it was looked really cool. Like all the floats look really cool lit up. Yeah. Like you could really see what was going on them. And I don't know. I think I like a nighttime. An evening. It's like how I love Magic Happens, but I like the second parade when it's earlier in the year because you can see the like special effects lighting on the floats a little bit more.
I saw the same cast member stuff though as you, but I don't think I would agree that that wasn't given the same thought as Magic Happens, where it's like we could use this in the daytime or nighttime. This is like just a little bit, but it's day. I mean, this is a daytime parade.
Was Magic Happenings happened twice while you were out there too? Two times?
Oh, no, I think it was only once a day.
It is while we're out there.
Yeah, the one time I did see it, it was I didn't stop to watch it because I completely forgot it was happening. It was coming. It was like 3 o'clock and it was coming up from Main Street going towards Fantasyland. So that would be the way that it usually would be going if there was only one parade a day. It would. Like it goes, if it's one parade a day, I believe it goes down one way and then it's parked there and then it comes back up the other way.
I think it leaves Small World and goes up and then goes down.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a whole month of May, but I know when we're there, it's doing the two regular times because that's also a big deal for our family.
It could have been. It was like the time that I saw it, it made no sense that that would have been the parade that was going back up Main Street.
That
would have been like, oh, no, that should be at like 5 o'clock if they were doing it. But that night they were also running the Star Wars night. So everything
I think the park closed at like 6 or 7 for that.
I have a question for you about the Pixar parade. I feel like when I was watching the video of it, the spacing felt weird. To me, like, there were big gaps. Does it feel that way in person?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, like any Disneyland, because obviously they always have the stops so that way people – not stops. It's slowly moving, but that way people can cross the paths. But this did feel like even in between individual floats that you sometimes had, like, you know, 30 seconds before the next round of performers would catch up for you. But it's minor issues.
Gotcha.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because it's kind of like, oh, that parade's great, and then these offerings, and then also Season of the Force. I know it's not as plentiful as Pixar Fest. There's so much going on in Disneyland Park right now. And I know Season of the Force is over sooner than later. But let's talk about the things we are very excited looking forward to, because I am just like you, Hannah, and it's food and drinks. So you have quite an extensive list that I was just double checking because I had misread it this morning, and there are a couple items where I was shocked weren't on here. So
I bet I know which ones they are.
Well, let's start. I've added them now. I was adding them now and drooling over the photos. So would you want me to read Hannah's list? Do you want Hannah to read her list? How do you want me to do this?
I mean, I feel like that's a question for the lady.
Oh, okay. I don't have my list pulled up, but I will tell you. So I just want to defend one of my choices. My first one is at Alien Pizza Planet. And is that the one you're talking about? The cheeseburger pizza?
No, I don't have that on my list, but I will always eat a cheeseburger pizza. And I believe Craig and I myself have actually had cheeseburger pizza from Alien Pizza.
So that's a I've had it before, I guess, at the last Pixar, and I really liked it. I mean, it basically tastes like a Big Mac meets pizza, and I don't know, man. Like, I ate it twice. Hey,
go to Soto Pizza downtown. You'll have a big, they have a Big
Mac
pizza.
That is true. But, I actually had, but then, I don't know, the macaroon, he's cute.
Yeah, but he's not the same flavor it was before, because this time...
Oh, yeah, he was like a berry before or something.
Yeah,
like
and this one is caramel? Salted caramel buttercream with chocolate ganache and chocolate brownie bites in it.
I mean, if I was going to eat an alien, I would rather them be the latter flavors versus berry.
But the blood is berry.
I think blood can be whatever creatures want their blood to be.
Is there it's an just alien brownie race bites. Out there that bleeds butterscotch?
Invite I wish,
them.
Yeah.
I would. I'd like I'll to invite you over.
Yeah, like,
for no reason. No, that I mean that's fine. That's exciting. There's other things that I mean the I don't know. It's good. Here's the thing: the Disneyland macaroons. I wouldn't know how good the ghost one was because it was knocked out of my hand and imploded immediately by someone at this room. But.
Oh. And you guys still talk to each other?
I know. For the most part. For the most part.
No, and I want,
the ones I had that have made it to my mouth, I've really enjoyed.
When someone is going to be grumpy and be in a mood, then
you?
I'm going to... No, I was not in the mood. I was
grabbed
in a good mood.
My bread and stabbed me in the tummy with it, but he didn't see that I was holding... the box, the to-go box.
So you were trying to like lighten the mood,
and the bread explode. The box exploded because it was, you know, that little thin
little
plastic. And this ghost took off into the air, and then
he flew off.
I'm not even kidding. It wasn't like oh, dropped it, pick it up, wipe it off. It hit the ground, and it literally. It was like one of those time lapse videos of the food that ages, and it collapsed in on itself.
Wow.
And to be fair, after he was finished being mad for like 10 seconds, then we laughed about it and he was finally in a better mood.
I mean, I laughed about it.
He's lucky it exploded the way it did. No, he did not.
No, the park was closed.
Yeah. That was the worst part.
It was like, it was, we were like walking out at like 12:30.
I'd like to point out I was in a not a bad mood. I was grumpy because I got everybody dinner while they all went on a ride and had so much giggles and fun.
And he came back and you're like, all I want to do is enjoy this ghost macaroon.
Yeah. Anyway. Despite so don't you dare knock this macaroon out.
I will not. Okay? We are going to sit down and enjoy our macaroons.
You got some other stuff on here I do agree with.
Okay. So Troubadour Tavern for me, and I will say I watched some other videos, so I kind of cheated, and that's my inspiration for this. The Roundup Barbecue Potato, because like who doesn't love a baked potato from Disneyland?
I think I'm confused about what the Troubadour Tavern is.
Oh, it's over by Fantasyland Theater.
Yeah, it's a small quick service kiosk that's right to the left of the theater.
Yeah, it's not like a
You're walking
the
up
bathrooms,
into the theater.
Yeah, the bathrooms on the left
side. They
say
prince and princess.
Yes, and then right after the bathrooms, you have the Troubadour Tavern, and then the theater.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I realized there was a quick service thing up there. Are they running a show right now? Is that Lion King show still going?
No, the Lion King show ended a long time ago.
2 years ago.
Not that long ago, but long.
Pandemic times are weird. You know, what year is it?
I missed the Mickey
Mouse show. So that's where the show or the interactive stuff is.
Oh, gotcha. That's right, I remember that.
Meet and greets and all that. So that's kind of cool. You can get some snacks while you're there. Okay, the Mixed Emotions popcorn, I was kind of hating on this. It's kind of weird. It's got like freeze-dried Skittles, popcorn. There it is. Look, it's pretty. Pretzel sticks.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much. Just give me freaking popcorn.
I love popcorn. So I'm kind of like...
I think when I have like texture things, so like reaching into this...
Too many textures.
Well, it's too sticky.
Oh,
I think it's going to be too sticky.
I'm going to find out. I'll report back. And then the Adventures Out There cold brew because, you know... If I can't be, you know, drinking in Fantasyland, so if I can't be drinking, then might as well be having cold brew.
Well, I'm going to read. So she said the Rodeo Barbecue Potato, which is brisket burnt ends tossed in Coca-Cola barbecue sauce with creamy slaw, pickle spear, and onion-flavored snacks, which sounds great. But it's crazy to me that you didn't have the Una Papa Loco inspired by Coco, which is the chicken al pastor, cheese, avocado, salsa, and sour cream topped with onion cilantro.
So here's...
And spiced corn... Chip crumble?
I know. I'm sure I'm going to try it. I had a hard time because I have decided I'm going to have a birria challenge while I'm out there, and I'm going to have a lot of birria tacos and things. So it's hard. There's so many good, like, you know, things in that vein of food. So how do you choose?
I think by doing exactly what we're doing right now.
Just, yeah, okay.
Making a list and going through
it.
Or
you just eat it all, you know?
Yeah. That's all you had at Disneyland, though.
Yeah.
Right? So, but for me, there's one thing I really want to try that I actually, because you had the baked potato, I'm surprised you didn't have this other thing, which at Refreshment Corner, you can get a barbecue, potato dog, which is inspired by Toy Story. So it's smoked sausage, barbecue pulled pork, coleslaw, fried onions, and green onions served in a potato.
That freaks me out a little bit.
So you hold your baked potato and then you eat it. And I was like, okay, I want
to. I mean, it is interesting. We should find out, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the baked potato is going to have to be cooked so overdone that it doesn't like give you resistance while you're then also trying to eat a hot dog.
You mean how a potato's supposed to be cooked? Baked potatoes are supposed to be crumbly. What do you like, them undercooked?
No, talking like it needs to be baked to the point firm. That it's like, no, I think it needs to be like overly, like add in extra moisture as well to keep them in a steam tray so that way it's sucking up so that it's not like that crumbly, that it's almost like getting to mashed potato consistency.
Mm. That's a fork and knife hot dog then.
Here's the thing. I'm on the side. I don't think this sounds appealing at all. So
it sounds just weird enough. I'd be willing to try it.
Okay. There's one more like weird, super weird thing. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Red Rose Tavern has this thing called Fergus Fizz, inspired by Brave, which is cranberry, raspberry mix and Sprite with a butterscotch topper and granola crumble. And it's one of those where I was
that's unhinged.
Yeah, what is butterscotch doing with cranberry, raspberry, and Sprite? And there's a part of me where I'm like,
could be like Christmassy.
Is that good? Like, I want to know because I'd like to make an alcoholic drink with these flavors in it if it is good. I think.
Okay, so I mean, I'm going to sound like a lush because I am. The problem I have with drinks like that is I'm like, girl, if there's not booze in that, I don't want to be wasting calories on that, you know? That's just, all right, there's my hot take.
Well, no,
for
I agree with that.
You know, like,
I don't
want to
have a Sprite.
Some,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't want a Sprite with like 12 different sugary items in it, you know? If you want to cut it with some vodka, maybe. All right, there you go.
I'll take it back to the room. Because technically, it's the other park.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, doesn't the hotel have an entrance into the park too? It's like a walkway or something.
I think there's still security there though.
Okay. Well, let's move over to California Adventure. Talk about the food over there. Because you got some stuff on here that I also noticed was kind of missing.
Well, I'm going to start with one I'm very excited about. I have hinted at my love for birria. And there's a birria pizza. What is better than, you know, birria? It's birria and pizza. Two wonderful things. So that's at Boardwalk Pizza. Very excited about that. Okay. This is kind of a hot take, but the Cozy Cone. I feel like Cozy Cone, you know, I feel like when, what are you guys talking about? What?
Nothing, I just whistled. Sorry, okay, that was an accident.
So it's a Luigi and Guido cone, and I don't remember the description, but it's pasta, and it's got a bunch of basil.
Oh, this looks good, yeah.
And I heard this was good, and I'm excited. The cone needs some love.
Sorry, you moved out of the area of the park that I still wanted to talk about. So over next to the Boardwalk Pizza, I'm sorry, I'm not...
Yeah.
What do you want?
We probably should have just let her read her list, and then you could have jumped in with yours.
Did you want me to describe her food or not then?
No. Nah.
Okay. Well, that seems really uninteresting. Go ahead, Hannah. Read the rest of your list, and then I'll go back in.
Well, I mean, I would hope that she would. I would hope that she would have.
She hasn't,
what it
so
is.
That's why I was trying to insert that it
is,
while she was going.
Is true. I wasn't well prepared for this, but I can tell you, I'm excited about it. So, all right. So I'm gonna get that cone at the Cozy Cone. I'm gonna get cozy at the cone, and then Studio Catering. The Ramon nachos look very good, and I don't have a description for that, but it's got cheese and refried beans. And I don't know what else, but it looks good. Heard it was good. I think they also have the Ramon nachos at one other location, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we don't even know about this stuff yet, but opening May 10th, right before our trip, they are opening up a couple of the kiosk for they're themed after the different movies. So
the marketplaces.
And actually, I'm sad to report, I've never done a like food festival type thing at DCA.
It's hard because they're so quick. Like their food and wine is like a month, a month and a half, it feels like, maybe two. But and then the Festival of the Holidays one is like really quick
Lunar
too.
New Year.
They're good. They do a good food festival though.
It seems like they do. So for me, at the Seoul Marketplace. This one looks a little unhinged, but I'm excited about it. It's the Summer Club chicken and potato waffles, but it also, I think the description talks about like there's like a peach cobbler element to it.
Yeah, and like cinnamon herb crumble. So I'm like, yeah. Peach cobbler with chicken?
I mean, it's all things I like. So in a way, it kind of makes sense. It's, you know, sweet and salty because I mean, it's the chicken and waffle thing anyways. So why not throw in peach cobbler, I guess. And then also there is a great Beyond cocktail also at that same marketplace.
Yeah, I do want that cocktail too.
Because it got gin in
it. And it's gin, maraschino liqueur, violet and blue curacao syrups with like lemon juice. And then there's pear nectar with butterfly pea flower tea and garnish with a white orchard. It does sound like it has a lot going on, but at the same time, there's a gin drink that I like to make at home that uses gin and maraschino liqueur. That's really good. Okay. I'm into that.
So we're going to both get that one. And then at the Elemental Table, there is an exothermic margarita, and it's a spicy margarita is what I've come to understand. So, yeah, that's it for me. And then the Pizza Planet truck popcorn bucket. I usually don't like spend money on popcorn buckets. I'm usually not that girly, but because it's, I think, $28. Did you get one? Oh, I'm so excited. So I watch Toy Story at least once a day at my house, and I heard this thing like lights up. The little alien toy is removable. The wheels work.
Well, Craig fell down.
Oh, no.
There's been an injury hit by a truck.
Craig, no.
It was a run
and
by.
I'm excited about that little scavenger hunt that they have. The 50.
Yeah, 50 trucks Pixar trucks
are hidden around.
Yeah,
even
so
check it out.
This is the popcorn bucket here, ka-chow. And the obviously
make it light up.
The opening is here. Hey, you gotta take your time with this. It's a lady truck. So the popcorn goes in here, and then the little door opens up.
The door opens up right now.
Yeah, the door opens, and then the little guy comes out, so you can be like, you want your pizza?
I do love that there's pizza? Like a removable.
You want that pizza?
Okay.
And then pizza. I'm going to put them back in. I'm not going to be able
pizza?
To. I'm
extra
not going to be able
cheese.
To. Okay. I'll call back. And then it doesn't
that
really show
amazing.
On the camera because of the lights. But
wait,
yeah.
Is it the trunk that's lit up or is it the headlights?
The headlights, the headlights and the pizza planet thing
pizza planet on top.
Oh,
so,
that's great.
Very, very cute.
Dang it. Very cute.
I prefer the Coco guitar. I would have much rather had that one, but
how much was that popcorn bucket? Do you know?
When it's free, you don't know.
I think it's $28,
which is like not bad. I mean, that's a full on.
Yeah, I think if I remember now,
that's
it's
a toy.
The yes, it is a toy. It's very much a toy because if you pull it back, it'll also move forward too.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that is $28. The Coco
that's
guitar
genius.
Is $28, and then the Doug Magic Key only.
Is
you, baby? 32.
Right. Oh, that's exclusive to Magic Key holders?
Yes.
I did not realize that. Wow. Wow, I'm going to enjoy
walk
that popcorn
with it and
bucket.
Be like,
yep.
Yeah.
No, I probably won't get the Doug one.
The Doug one is very big. It would be very difficult to bring home.
A lot of popcorn in there.
Well, I feel like at least with the Coco guitar, you know, you could wear the strap over you and you could pretend that you're
I'm
the
guitar player.
You could pretend you're El Mariachi as you board the airplane.
That probably wouldn't be great, considering they have weapons inside of their guitars. So.
No, that is true. That is true.
Yeah. Some food items that I feel like Hannah missed that I am personally looking forward to is there over at the Requerdame at Paradise Garden Grill. There is a red velvet tres leches parfait topped with churro crunch and pink cinnamon sugar mousse finished with green pearls, orange mousse, and chocolate skull decorations, obviously inspired by Coco. There's also a watermelon candy cocktail inspired by Coco, which is tequila, watermelon schnapps, and pineapple juice with a chamoy and chili lime seasoning rim. That sounds like
that
could be pretty delicious to me. Also at the Elemental Table where that exotic margarita was, there's a smoked firewood barbecue inspired impossible chicken with hot mustard sauce, pickles, and charred onions. That sounds good. And then at Hangar Management, inspired by Inside Out, there's a drink called the Mood Stabilizer Mule, which is bourbon, watermelon liqueur, candied orange and watermelon syrups, and orange and lime juices topped with ginger beer and garnished with watermelon candies. It's one of those where, like, I don't usually always like a mule, but I love the idea of a watermelon liqueur with the bourbon. That sounds very refreshing.
Yeah.
So I also appreciate that they're, like, playing around with a lot of flavors in a lot of this stuff, like mixing it up. So I don't know. It sounds good to me. Is there other things that you're looking forward to beyond Pixar Fest?
Like are you talking about food in general or Disneyland?
No, just Disneyland in general.
I went to Magic Kingdom, I don't know, a couple days ago, and I was like, I just can't wait to be in Disneyland and just how I don't know how much easier it is, like how much quainter it is. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm excited. We're going to stay at the Pixar Place Hotel. I've never stayed at Paradise Pier, so I didn't stay at the previous version of it. I'm very excited to see that.
I am super excited to stay in the room. I was looking at pictures. It's cute. Like, it was just like kind of the concept art of it, because there's a part of me where I'm like, I don't really want to look at too much related to it, because I kind of really want to experience it for myself.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm the opposite. I really should be like that, but I feel like I'm like, nope, gonna watch every video, gonna know all the things. But yeah, I'm excited for that. You mentioned Season of the Force. I know there's like not as much for that, but I don't know. I feel like I've kind of neglected Batu over at Disneyland, because I'm going to be honest, I'm not a huge fan of Batu, despite being a fan of Star Wars. And so I'm excited to maybe like learn to love it a little bit more out there. I think being able to watch fireworks back there will be cool. I'm hoping that cheesy bread that they have at Oga's will make me maybe appreciate Oga's a little bit more.
Oh, the blossom. The, like,
yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, it's very good. It's so good. That's good. Obviously, there's the Ronto-less wrap that I like, and then the cold brew that's over there is better. And then for Season of the Force, which I believe is going through June 2nd, is they have at Docking Bay 7, they have these fried chicken bows that I want to try, which is like two crispy chicken bows, spicy katsu sauce, and a creamy slaw. I love bow.
I'm going to disagree on the cold brew. We had it so many times in January and August, and Kylie and I got it a couple weeks ago when we went to Hollywood Studios, and it's really negligible in terms of the taste and difference. So I actually think if you get the boozy one at Hollywood Studios, better than Disneyland.
Mm. I didn't love the boozy version, actually. I felt like it was like too much.
From Hannah?
I know.
I haven't had it since they first released it, so I'll have to try it again.
Yeah,
I'm going to go there for
a we're just going to end the show now.
Star Wars week this week, so I'm going to try it.
I thought the cheeseburger pizza was going to get y'all fired up, but no, it was, the boozy.
There is apparently, I don't know, Craig said it before the show, there is a street-style elote burger at Hungry Bear that was part of the Disneyland After Dark Star Wars night that is supposedly going to hit the park for regular guests.
Yeah, that's just what I read.
I don't know if it's going to be themed to Star Wars when it hits the park for regular guests, but
I mean, based on the picture that I saw, it wasn't themed to Star Wars when it was at Star Wars night.
I'm not really.
Oh yeah,
like, I'm kind of confused how it is themed to it.
Does the bun have something on it?
I don't even think I saw anything with that. I think it was just a burger that like, surprise, we're serving it here.
It's green.
Which, like, there you go.
Yeah.
Are you ready now to hear what your specialty mint julep?
Oh yes, I am.
Yes. So
this is it's sad because the mint julep flavor that was currently there and has been there for a couple months now was the huckleberry mint julep, which I think was
I love huckleberry
prime. That was a drink that was better than the original mint julep, in my opinion.
That's a strong opinion.
So your mint julep flavor is a peach mango.
I don't like peach or mango that much.
Wow, you are a monster. Well, you won't like the peach beignets either.
That could be good.
I think
liked peaches when I was a kid, like from my grandmother's like tree and stuff like that. And I think it's just one of those, like, I think in Florida, for me, every time I get a peach here, it goes bad immediately. And so there's like a weird, like, I don't think I like the texture. Also, Call Me By Your Name ruined it for me.
That's why you gotta get your peaches from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confused. Like, he's sitting here praising Massachusetts peaches when I'm pretty sure that the peaches
I wasn't praising them. Peach. I just said I liked those ones.
Oh, you know, because it's the peach state.
Yeah.
Okay. I just said they were from my grandmother's garden. I didn't say I loved them. I just said I liked those ones.
Well, okay, that is true. Grandma.
It's not love or hate. There's like too. You know what I mean?
Peaches. Massachusetts, the peach state. Welcome.
Our apples are delicious.
Oh.
As much as I don't like Michigan, I think they have superior apples.
No, not at all. also, Red and Delicious, you can go straight into the garbage.
Yeah, no.
Disgusting. Aren't naturally occurring
apples.
I'm a
Honeycrisp or bust, okay? Just saying.
Honeycrisp is acceptable, but I prefer a Macintosh.
Oh.
like my computers. I like my apples. We are recording this on April 30th, so I do just want to acknowledge that starting tomorrow, it is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage mm-hmm. Month, so there'll be some special happenings, really just out at Disneyland, not really here, which is too bad, but just one of those things where you're out there, there'll be even more special food items mm-hmm. in addition to these festival items and everything. So it's jam-packed, but also just acknowledging the month in general. So let's talk about Tokyo Disneyland, which is getting ready to open Fantasy Springs pretty soon, but that doesn't stop them from looking towards the future, because last week they announced their version of Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters will become a Wreck-It Ralph attraction starting in 2026. In this attraction, guests will take on the role of familiar characters from the movie to save the world of Sugar Rush, a glitch called the Sugar Bug, created by King Candy, is about to destroy the world. Together with Ralph, Penelope, and others, they will return Sugar Bug to its original form of cute sweets such as cookies and cakes. And then obviously...
Cookies and cakes. Do you say steak?
We got to talk about it, obviously, because if it's going away there, what do we think about the chances of Buzz Lightyear, Walt Disney World, or Disneyland going away here?
Well,
I wouldn't mind it here. I'd mind it at Disneyland.
I know. I don't. I wouldn't mind it either place.
I mean,
sorry, Steve.
Yeah. So at Disneyland, you know, their Tomorrowland is so messed up as it is. Yeah. I don't think adding Wreck-It Ralph would necessarily make it. Even like
doesn't
more
really do anything.
Yeah. You're like, why not? Yeah, it's, sure. Come on in.
I don't know. It could take it down for the worse. I would really prefer it to our version, I think, here in Magic Kingdom, because again, I think something needs to change with our Tomorrowland, much the same as Disneyland. And I think maybe they just need the catalyst of throw something in completely different and see if we can come up with something, because, you know, like it or not, at least Buzz Lightyear does have something slightly to do with space. So it's not completely inappropriate. Buzz Lightyear makes more sense in our Tomorrowland than Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
Yeah, I would agree.
So,
absolutely.
I don't know. It maybe just
I'd
go
argue
crazy.
That I'd argue that Wreck-It Ralph would kind of solidify. So, like Tron, we have Tron, and Tron is about like getting into the grid and like going into this gaming thing.
Video
and now,
game land.
If you add,
okay,
Wreck-It Ralph, it's now also about like getting into this digital world. So it becomes, it kind of is like, okay, is that really what Tomorrowland is now? Is it like really about this digital world? And God, just get rid of Monsters Inc. Lab Floor.
Yes, I do think that's where they need to go. So, you know, it's just like, it feels like it's something that could happen one day if they want to really clone that much. You know, I know everyone expected Wreck-It Ralph to be a VR attraction inside of where Stitch was, because that was the rumor for the longest time. But I think there's no hope for that building anymore at this point. I think it just is there because I read on X people saying, too, that it's much like some of the Fantasyland buildings that you like talking about from time to time.
Okay.
If they update too much and change too much inside, then they have to fix everything in that, and that's connected to cosmic rays as well, and that throws in a whole extra set of challenges.
Well,
so,
also now with their development thing changed, I don't know that they can skirt around, not that they were skirting around rules, but I do believe there was something where, like, as long as a piece of the original structure remained, they could still alter things. So they had to leave like a wall up from one of the things, one of the Disney myths. I don't know if it's true.
I don't know. The other myth I saw with it is that buildings filled with asbestos, and that's obviously not right, but it probably is.
It was built in the 70s. I mean, the 60s, technically.
Yeah. No idea, but I think it would be a welcomed addition to our parks. It hurt so much when I saw it going all over social media, and it's like, tell me it's coming here. Tokyo, it's like, doesn't Tokyo get enough?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. They're getting too much, you know?
You know, yeah, Fantasy Springs.
You know, we're talking about it taking over Buzz Lightyear, but why not put that in Animation Courtyard at Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, and that'd
be
great.
Like, because that area and that park could use a little
bit. Because that needs to go in general.
Yeah.
And they need to completely revamp that area. Don't, like, do something else besides just plop an attraction like that in there.
Wait, question for you guys. Actually, it made me think about the Little Mermaid stage show. When is that supposed to come back?
In 2024.
Okay. Oh, was it announced as 2024?
I thought it was going to be summer.
I thought it was last year, so I have no idea.
Nope.
Sometime in 2024. Okay. Update. I hate to burst your bubble once again, Rhino. The top 10 apple-producing states are Washington, New York, Michigan, Pennsylvania, California, Virginia, North Carolina, Oregon, Idaho, and Ohio.
Where does Johnny Appleseed come from?
I believe Ohio.
I thought it was from like New York.
I think it's Ohio.
Wow. Anyway, it doesn't matter to me. I grew up in a town with cranberries. So,
which makes your entire peach and apple even so much more confusing.
He's like, we have just cornered the market on all
just fruits. Own the cranberries. Own your berries.
My grandmother had quite a garden. She had pears. There were apples. There was rhubarb. There was corn.
Well,
maize.
I bet she doesn't know what makes the garden grow, though.
She doesn't. She's 91. She doesn't have the garden anymore, sadly. So now for the debut of our new segment, Unsolved Disney Mysteries.
Ooh, do your slide whistle.
And this one, I feel like I need a theremin for this one.
Okay, yeah.
Like a
not
alien.
In the budget.
You know what I needed?
Not in the budget.
You used to get them at an arcade. It was like the alien balancing thing that was on like a little silver thing, but you could blow into the side of it and it would make the...
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
If anyone out there has one, send me a message. Yeah. Now, but brand new. I don't want to be blowing into somebody else's UFO. Yeah, I said that. Now for the debut. God, I'm reading the same sentence over and over again. Anyway, whatever. Here's the thing. Marvel merchandise. It's been disappearing. Disney's Hollywood Studios removed it. Marvel merchandise from Keystone Clothiers. And in the past couple of weeks, Creation Shop at Epcot has now basically removed all of its Marvel merchandise and redesigned some of the sections. And now you can only get Marvel merch at the Exit gift shop for Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, as well as the Marvel store in Disney Springs. And the photo, if you're watching this, that's up right here. You can see where it says kids behind these mannequins. I believe just last week or a week or two, there was a mixtape. Yeah, that was the Cosmic Rewind like logo up there. So
that's, yeah, that was that the day that we were at.
Yeah, you and I were there, and
San
we were,
Angel. Mm-hmm, yeah,
we looked right at it. Oh yeah, we were all there. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And so it happened fair, and we were literally in there talking about how the Marvel merchandise there wasn't.
It looked like it was all going away, yeah. And then sure enough, when I was there in the weekend. Walk in there and look at it, and it's like, oh, it's all gone. There was two little stands that was kind of filled with like mix and match Marvel stuff.
And yeah, I went last night and it was same. It was like you get a Spider-Man toy, you could get an Iron Man toy. Those are your only two options.
I don't think it has anything to do with like superhero fatigue or anything like that, because I still see people everywhere in the parks with Marvel related stuff on and everything like that. And obviously, you are coming here to experience these properties: Star Wars, Marvel, Pixar, whatever it may be. You know, Disney Animation. And I think it has to do more with the fact that I don't know if there was some sort of issue that they were selling too much Marvel merchandise in their parks versus that like Universal Studios has that right here. You know, so I don't know if something actually happened and they're only supposed to be selling Guardian stuff. I have no idea, but it's just something that's become very noticeable. And it's crazy because if there was something new out from Marvel, like a new collection or new toys or something like that, the first place I would go is Hollywood Studios to look for it, because it was always very prevalent in that Keystone Clothiers area. And so it's interesting. I don't know. Obviously, we're not going to have an answer for it.
I kind of noticed, too, though, Creations, like the Star Wars section, is much smaller now, too. So I don't know. And they've reorganized the store. So that doesn't explain, like, the Keystone Clothiers thing at Hollywood Studios. But, like, are they just revamping stuff in there?
Well, when we were at Keystone Clothiers, she basically said, nope, we're not. I don't want to misquote the cast member, but it felt like she basically said, no, we're not allowed to sell that anymore. So now you can find Marvel at the Marvel store at Disney Springs, and you can find it at Epcot. So that's why we went into Creation Shop to look at the Marvel stuff to be like, is it still in here after she said that? Because, you know, I was like, oh, if they take it out of there, maybe they take it, only put it inside the Guardians Exit gift shop. And that's now what it's at. So it definitely seems like something happened where it's like they just had to start slowly removing stuff out of the way, except for at the one attraction that they have in Florida, where it feels like they probably have the ability to be able to sell it there, and then Disney Springs. But if that store goes away at Disney Springs, then there's going to be a lot of head scratching on what's going on. Because, I mean, that store is always busy. So it's not like they're not selling crap.
Oh, yeah.
It's always, they're moving stuff.
And there's always new Marvel merchandise. Like, if they're not selling it here, they're still selling it on the Disney Store website or out at Disneyland. So it's, I mean, it's out there. So
somebody in the chat was saying that the Marvel collectible stuff isn't on the Disney Store website anymore. I just wanted to click.
Oh, I forgot to mention you can buy the Infinity Gauntlet at Creations right now.
Did they put that back in there?
I was there last night and it was
there. Yeah, on Sunday it wasn't in there.
But I mean, that was it, you know. You buy the Infinity Gauntlet.
They had like two or three Spider-Man things when I was in there.
Yeah.
And all the gauntlets, including the Black Panther gauntlet, was over in the Guardians gift shop.
Yeah.
I see the collectibles on here. I see the web shooter and the TVA badge and time stick and stuff. So I think they just removed the original stuff. Anyway, it's just interesting. Just something we've noticed from going to the parks recently, which is weird. I just, you know, there was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it just feels like it's missing. So now you have to go out of your way if you're a Marvel fan to be able to get something collectible. It's like, okay, go to Disney Springs or the Guardians gift shop. Otherwise, you're out of luck.
Universal Studios.
Or go to Universal and you'll go to Islands of Adventure. You'll find plenty of it.
It was weird when they were selling some of the same stuff. But
yeah, that's true.
Well, before we go, because we were hitting that hour mark here, just want to wrap up by saying, talking about TV a little bit, because for some reason this past week has been a Disney TV fan's dream. On Sunday night, History Channel kicked off its new 6-episode limited series called How Disney Built America, starting with The Birth of Mickey. And I want to just be sure, if you're watching this, cover up the little one's eyes of Mickey coming out of the Walt's hush at one point. NSFW, am I right? Terrible joke. Anyway,
that we spent a little bit of time on.
National Geographic aired Epcot Becoming Inside the Transformation as a paid partnership with Disney Experiences. I don't think I liked reading that right after this, too. This joke. If you didn't catch either of these, History Channel will allow you to stream How Disney Built America with a cable subscription starting every Monday after the latest episode airs, and Epcot Becoming will be added to Disney Plus and Hulu beginning July 19th. Because why have one without the other anymore? The same things are on both, it feels like.
I feel like if you only subscribe to Hulu, you wouldn't go through the effort of downloading Disney Plus to access Hulu through that. You'll just keep the standalone Hulu.
Yeah, I have both.
Oh, yeah, true.
Figure it
out. It's kind of confusing now. I mean, I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but it is weird. Like now, like when I go on Disney Plus and I'm like going to put on Toy Story for my kid and I'm like, oh, and then there's, you know,
How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah, like right up front. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's messy, but you know what? It'll expose kids to shows that they're going to end up watching anyways eventually. So,
well, just getting started on it. Speaking of exposing, did you guys watch either of these shows?
I'll say I watched both of them because that is the truth. One of them, I would say, unfortunately, because the one that I did not care for, there are still 5 more episodes
to
go with it. I thought the one on History Channel, I guess I haven't watched History Channel in like 19 years. Once I realized there was nothing more new to learn about World War II, I stopped tuning into the History Channel. And so I didn't realize that Adam Richman of Man versus Food fame has basically taken over the channel with like now he hosts all these How Blank Built America and all these like shows where he inserts himself into all of them. Like, I don't believe for 1 second you're an expert on all of this stuff. But sure enough, he's just there. I watched like 3 different episodes with different things. And he was always one of the informative people that's on the show. I don't like this. But it's the History Channel one, just it's one of those ones where they do recreations.
I saw that
of the moment.
And it looks like a Walt to me or a Mickey to me.
This. Oh, it is so they're all standing around the table like it's a scene out of Halt and Catch Fire or Mad Men where they're like making a hard pitch like
right.
Yeah, but Mortimer doesn't feel right.
It
looks like a Mickey to me.
Oh, no.
I think it's also one of those things where you're like, is that how it happened? Because
based on the stories, I don't think so.
Based on what I know from Family Guy, I don't think that's how it happened.
Oh. I
you want to be a star, don't you?
Yeah.
Do I have to?
I hated it. Like, and I watched it all the way through the episode.
That's too bad.
It's one of those things where like it's not a statement on any of the people in the show, because they did actually reach out.
Who did they bring on?
They brought on past Imagineers, from the Disney fan world. They brought on Disney Dan, who has an awesome YouTube channel.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like really, really cool. Like they reached out and got a wide swath of people. It's not necessarily the stories that they're telling and setting up. It's all like the cuts to these scenes. Like, no one needed a freaking recreation of it.
Right.
And eventually you get to a point where the man wanted to be on television so much that like it's all like just show.
You know what we should do? We should reenact that scene of them with the Mickey, but it'll be us when we were trying to discuss what we were going to call this podcast.
Yeah. Pretty
Our reenactment.
Which one? Because there was multiple. You mean the one that was in the ballroom for the Grand Californian right before our live podcast airing? I don't think you showed up to that one. I think you were late to that meeting.
Oh, I was. I missed that. I walked in right when it was over, so I didn't know. Oh my god.
Yeah,
okay.
That's all.
I missed out.
It was the five of us saying, what are we gonna call this? What do we do? What do we do? Should we just not say anything? Guess what? I think we just didn't say anything.
Is that okay?
I think we just didn't say the name. Like, I never added it in. I didn't say So
that's funny. That I was there but not there.
Yeah, that's pretty there was also not enough smoking happening in the background of that scene.
A fog.
It's like, I'm pretty sure it would have been a fog. But then for the Epcot one, the interesting thing with that is it did every commercial break, it made sure to like promote like this is a paid partnership with Disney Experiences, the fact that it was airing, which like it's nice since Disney owns National Geographic.
I get you. They have to be like, it's skewed that way, like Disney making the movie about Walt Disney.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where it still didn't explain why it took so long to transform Epcot in the way that it did.
No.
But it did add a little extra context, like in terms of how Imagineers brought it all together that I don't think was really anywhere else. Like the one cool thing that I thought during the Epcot one, they had one of the sound people that was like, when they were testing Luminous, they'd have to watch it from all the places to hear the sound and how it would be like if you're in between speakers with that. And so like when it was kind of off and they weren't hearing it properly, like they just shut everything off and turn on pink noise until they go and they hear the tones equally all the way around. Like, so it did like
that's cool.
Little insights like that. And, you know, like the risk that they took with building Cosmic Rewind, where like if they were off by an inch, than with anything that it would have completely ruined their plans, and the difficulties of trying to build a roller coaster inside a building after the building's built rather than build the coaster first and then build a building around it.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of stuff like that. I definitely recommend that one when it comes on later, but I will be begrudgingly watching the rest of the History Channel one.
No note of why there's no character meet and greets over there either, like there was originally supposed to be.
No, that did not make it into becoming Epcot. Or wait, sorry, Epcot Becoming.
Yeah, that's the reason why I don't like it, because it's Epcot Becoming.
Where's Epcot be going? Well, Epcot's Becoming.
I don't know if she's becoming. Also, the fact that the semicolon is inside the transformation. Did it really have that big of a transformation?
Yeah.
I mean, it did.
Demolished two giant buildings. Yeah.
The entire entrance area was changed up.
Are they talking? Are we talking post Millennium Stones, like
yes,
forward?
Everything starting with that forward. So that Ratatouille, Luminous, Olive World Celebration area, and Moana, and then Guardians. That was kind of all that was covered in it.
Well, I watched Avengers Endgame instead of all that because it's been 5 years since that came out. And
need
what is time?
Cry.
And you know what? I realized the plot hole in that movie with time travel, but I still didn't care because I enjoy that movie quite a bit. And I cried again when Tony Stark does the snap. That's going to do it for this episode. Again, when you are planning your next Disney, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, any sort of Disney vacation, don't forget about Dreams Unlimited Travel. Again, it is free. It costs you nothing extra, and you help support the channel. So check them out, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And our Patreon supporters, thank you so much. We are going to be doing our live post show following this broadcast in just a few moments. So if you want to be a part of that and learn how and about other sort of perks that we have, you can head over to patreon.com/Diz Unlimited. And again, if you are still watching us on YouTube, if you made it this far, congratulations. I don't think there's a lot of you, but don't forget, thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, hit that bell button on there. And if you are listening to this, hey, thank you very much for listening. I hope you didn't crash your car during this or wherever else you may listen. I don't know. The office, is that a thing? When you get a second, if you could rate and review it, that'd be swell. We had a lot of catchphrases submitted this last week, so if that's something that you've made it this far and you've heard about, go ahead and write it in the comments of this video. But this week's is brought to you, or brought to us, excuse me, by Light Spark Daniel, and that is, thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we'll see you soon on the next Diz Unlimited podcast. But remember, dreams are wishes haunting your sleep. Yummy, yummy, everyone.